99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear, happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now, to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Unit 4. A 460. Now, at 56 and H, Henry. Code 2. Units 29 and 31, cover in.
Possible burglary in progress at the market on 56 and 8th Street. We're opposite 56th Street on Folsom, not too far away. We better cover in. Other units are covering in also. Those are traffic officers.
257 to cover all, also covering in on that.
Unit 99 will be in cover too. Here's a group of fellows at the market. We're first to arrive.
What seems to be the trouble?
Somebody tried to break in.
Somebody tried to break in?
Yeah, we're ready, Billy.
Is anybody inside?
No. No, no, but throw one guy out. Throw one guy out.
That was one of the guys.
Here's my turn. I'm looking forward to
playing inside.
What was that?
When I live across the street, and I called him. When I saw it, I looked out the bedroom window, and I saw a fellow's last leg going through. That's what I thought I saw. That's why I called in.
You didn't see anybody come out yourself?
No, I've been watching it ever since. No one's come out.
I saw him.
He left.
Yeah, he probably saw over there, see?
Did you find the type of car or see the license number?
Oh, the lobby. Old model car.
Oh,
it's my daughter. She's got the license there on the window.
From upstairs.
Well, she has the license number.
She's already called it in the police station.
Detectives Rellis and Rogers are here. Let's get out. Yeah, we'll go inside. Pretty well lighted up inside.
It looks like a big rock over there.
It looks like something in the alley over there. The whole brass is knocked from the outside inwardly. It's all on the floor of the store. In fact, it's scattered way back to about 20, 25 feet, fragments of glass. Detectives are going in with their shotguns. They're the back of the store now. Oh, it looks like a coil from an automobile. Don't touch it. We might be able to get prints off of it. Did you find anything? That looks like the thing that they threw through the door, Marty. You check on what was missing. Was there money in it?
No money in the registers.
Did you have money in the registers before?
No, this we took the money upstairs already.
Well, they'd been upstairs.
No, we took the money. We were upstairs.
Yeah. Well, you were upstairs when they came in.
Yeah, we heard the noise. I was standing up there and looked down there, didn't see nothing. When my friend go home, he saw the guy climb up and he yelled at me.
But you don't leave any money. You leave the registers open. No money. You take the money with you. All right. Do you think you could identify this man if you saw him again? Is anybody around here? Any of your friends?
I just come in that way. I just saw somebody.
Well, where were you when you saw this man? When you saw the man?
I opened the door. My friend go out. And he just hit the light. Make a noise. I looked back. I saw the guy just go right upstairs, call everybody down. Mm-hmm. But then my friend outside, same time he called me.
Yeah.
He saw a man go out this way.
Saw the man leave.
Yeah.
Those last edges there, Rogers, is there any
doesn't
blood or anything?
No, it doesn't indicate any blood at all.
It's a small opening. Well, we're going to check. We'll talk to the girl that saw the, they got the license number, saw the car, too. We'll see if we can get... Let's see, who saw the car?
Me.
What kind of a car was it? Did you notice?
I don't know what kind of Ford or any kind of that, but I know it was a tannish color, and it was, you know, one of those short kind of coupes, I guess.
Coupe?
What you call it.
Couldn't have been a convertible or anything, coupe?
No, it wasn't a convertible.
And coupe. Would you know the car is a similar type car if you saw it again?
Oh, yes.
You'd know it, huh? What was that license number? You got the license number, didn't you?
Let's see. I know I told somebody AKR-521.
You can identify this person if you see him again.
Well, I mean, I didn't see, you know, the whole person, but I know he's tall, and he had a white coat on, and he looked like he had real dark hair. It might have been black.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see the full face of him, though.
How was he dressed?
He had a white, you know, like you see druggists wear when they work in a thing, except it hung down to here. And it looked like he had blue pants on. They were a little ragged at the bottom. I mean, they looked like it.
In which direction did he go?
Well, I saw him head that way.
Okay, thanks. Let's go outside, Roger. Can I talk to you outside?
Okay.
Thanks. Yes. Thanks very much. We've got the other detective checking over the address of the car where it's registered. I don't know what they've accomplished over there yet. We'll have to check with them. Rose and Rogers, you want to go over to that address?
Yeah, we're going to check over there. Too.
All right, we'll follow you over. That's the location of where this person is supposed to reside. Detectives are spotting on the house. Is that the car over there, Jim?
No.
Is that the house?
That's the house, not the car.
You haven't seen the car at all?
Back yet.
Okay, we'll spot with you for a while. We're parked in one side of the street in the alley. I see Detective Sergeant Lyons going through the dark alley on the other side, checking over the backyard of that residence. Pretty eerie out here tonight. It's been raining, overcast. Very quiet.
Here comes Sergeant Lyons.
Yeah, Jim?
I think we're going to go over and knock on the doors.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Okay, Jim.
I can see the house from here. The officers have just gone in. I noticed through the window, too, a lady and a man answering the door. The officers are now going in. The house is all lit up. Previously, it was dark. Lights had gone on in the back of the house. We'll stand by and see what the result is. The transmission just came in that car that we're looking for is reported stolen. The detectives have been in the house for about 15 minutes. They're coming out now. We'll get the full story.
I guess the car was stolen from here.
When?
Sometime after 5 o'clock last night.
Well, I guess this isn't the place, then.
No. Well, these people apparently are responsible persons.
They have any children?
One. He's 25 years old, a college student. He's been home all night.
Well, it makes it a little tougher.
Right.
A police department, like any governmental or commercial organization, has a certain number of man-hours with which to function. This case was an example of how those man-hours can be wasted. I'm referring to the time the officer spent spotting the address to which the getaway car was registered. The car had been stolen 24 hours earlier, but had not been reported. A prompt report of any stolen property enables your police department to work more efficiently. In this case, it might have prevented the break-in, and most certainly would have saved the hours which were wasted on the spot.
Unit 6. That man is supposed to be returning to the house on Santa Inez Way. He has a .38 caliber revolver and says he is going to cause trouble. Stand by, but remain 909.
That was the second call for Unit 6 on that case. Evidently, this man has been having trouble with his family. He's in a bad frame of mind. Considered dangerous with that .38. We better go over and help out if we can.
KMA 907. 7 to all units. Be on the lookout for a 1956 Cadillac. Four-door, yellow color with a light top. The driver is 5 feet 11, 200 pounds, wearing a white shirt and gray pants. He is armed and considered dangerous. KMA 907.
That was an all-unit broadcast giving the description of the car and the description also of the man. We're out around East Sacramento now. We'll cruise the area, see what we can find.
Go ahead, 257.
That car just turned east on San Andres on N Street. Have the car there. Stand by, and maybe you better get another car out here. I'll check it and see if I can give you any further information.
That's Detective Rogers. He's working alone tonight. We better get back here and help him out.
Go ahead, 257.
He's going towards, he's on San Inez, between Folsom and N Street. If the car will come out of the driveway there, they probably can approach him from the north end, and I'll be on the south side on San Inez Way.
Unit 6, the man has left his car and is walking on Santa Inez Way towards the house. KMA 907.
We're going south on San Inez. There's the house over there. Unit 6 is waving us in this direction. Let's go down here. We'll turn here at N Street. There's a fellow over there behind the tree. White shirt, heavy bill. It looks like him. Keep on going down to the next corner. Make a U-turn, come back. Be prepared.
You still there?
Unit 99 to KMA 907.
Go ahead, 99.
Will you inform Unit 6 and 257 that the suspect is at the corner of San Inez and N Street?
Okay, 99. Unit 6 and 257. Your suspect is at Santa Inez and N, Nellie. KMA 907.
Let's go down. Okay, let's get out. Quick. Now, he was just here. Let's go on down toward the corner. He's either down around the corner or through the hedge. Hey, the officers down there have someone. Looks like him. Detective Rogers has him with another officer.
Now, what have I done?
What did you leave your car down in the corner of 30,
I wanted to walk down here and see was I welcome in with my home, which my wife's mother asked me to come in with my family last week. I'm not here to fight with anybody.
He's clean. Yeah, he's clean.
I'm clean. I haven't got anything on me.
Well, who were you hiding behind the tree for, then?
I wasn't hiding behind anybody.
You certainly were when we turned the corner.
Turn the corner and go down to my wife and see what it was all about.
Where does your wife live from here?
Right down the street, then.
Well, why are you down this direction here, opposite?
Because I happen to know her pretty well.
We'll go down and check the automobile. We're going down to check the car out, see if the gun that was reported is in it.
We're at the car. Rogers is going through it.
See anything yet, Dwight?
No, I haven't found a weapon.
I wonder if he had discarded it somewhere. Was he running when you stopped him?
He's walking at a very fast pace. Very nervous, excited.
Officer Lopez is talking with the man now.
Now, what kind of a revolver is this that you own? You
I
own
a revolver. Haven't got a revolver at all.
I don't
all.
Say that you have it with you. I'm asking you, you own a revolver. Is that right?
No. My revolver that I had last week, I'm far ahead of my story, was stolen from me.
Oh, it was stolen. When was it stolen?
The North Sacramento police will vouch for that.
When was it stolen?
In June of last year.
That's untrue, and you know it's untrue. Your wife had it just last week.
A revolver I had?
Yes, a revolver that you own, a .38 caliber. Now, where is it?
Let's call up the North Sacramento Chief of Police, and he'll tell you that it was stolen from me.
Where is your gun now?
I haven't got a gun.
Well, you had one over at your house.
I had a .38 was stolen from me. Now,
how long ago?
Last June. June of last year.
Did you ever report it?
Yes, sir. To the North Sacramento Police.
Where
first,
is it? Stolen
out of your gasoline.
Now, how is it that your wife said you had a gun just last week?
I don't know what my wife has to say. She's pretty bitter than me. I don't know what it's all about. Now, what she's got to say, what I can prove to you, by Percy Gassaway of the North Sacramento Chief of Police.
Well, I will assume that a revolver was stolen last June. What happened to the revolver that you had tonight?
I didn't have a revolver tonight.
Didn't you threaten her?
No, sir.
You called her up over the telephone just about a half hour ago, less than a half hour ago, about 15 minutes ago. Where did you call her from?
Call her from anywhere. I told her that I would like to come out and have a place to stay tonight because I'd like to have some place to sleep.
Didn't she give you a $10 bill to rent a motel room and you tore it in half tonight?
That's right.
Yeah.
No, I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't threatened anybody. I haven't done anything that I could really say was wrong.
Well, what do you suppose would cause your wife to get as upset as she is if you hadn't started something tonight?
Well, I'll tell you what happened because I lost my business last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So, a few weeks ago, we sold our home.
Well, what caused this trouble tonight, though? What would cause your wife to become afraid of you to the point where she felt it necessary to call the police?
We're going to take her to walk up there.
All right.
I don't know what would cause her. Why don't you ask her that? But I'm trying to tell you that this afternoon, I got a little check of $9.60. And I took it out and bought food for her and the kids and her mother and so forth. And this is the fifth day I went without a mouthful of food in my mouth.
You mean to tell me that you haven't eaten for 5 days?
I haven't eaten.
And now listen, I want one more time I'm going to ask you. What brought about this episode tonight? Where your wife found it necessary to call the police because of fear of her own and the children's lives?
Because? What do you mean, my children's life? I love my children more than anything in the world.
Answer the question, will you, please?
All right, now I'm answering it. I went out this afternoon on a $9.60 check that I had and bought meat, groceries of all kinds to take home to her and cook me a meal. When time comes, she didn't cook me nothing.
Well, just one more question and we'll stop this. Why did you find it necessary, if you were going to visit your wife on a friendly basis, why did you find it necessary to park a block and a half away from the house?
Because I saw you fellas down there, and I knew who I had it.
You didn't see anybody down there. There was no police car down there.
She had me arrested about 3 years ago for no reason at all.
And isn't it a fact that the police were out at your house this afternoon on a call?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you were there. You knew about it. Because that's when she gave you the $10, isn't it?
Out of my house this afternoon? No, that's news to me. I'll be truthful with that, Bob.
Let's go back to the house and talk to the woman. The officer's at the door now. The lady's just come down.
The reaction.
Well, he states he does not have a gun.
He doesn't have it. He left with it and threatened us.
Did you see it in his hand?
Oh, certainly I did. He was right here. He threatened us because, my mother asked him to leave because he's been heckling me all day. It's just, in other words, mental cruelty. It's just one thing after the other.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out, and he didn't have any money. And so anyway, he didn't have a paycheck. And in the meantime, we had sold our home and came in here and gambled all the money away. So he didn't have any money. No.
About the gun. What kind of gun was it? Automatic?
It's an army pistol, and I think it's a .38.
Mm-hmm. Did he brandish that gun before you tonight?
Oh, he sure did.
Did he threaten your life?
Oh, he certainly did.
Is it an automatic or is it a revolver?
No, it's an automatic. Then over the phone, he called a little while ago, and he says, well, police or no police, he says, I'm coming out. And I said, well, you threatened my mother, and you can't stay here anymore. I said, I can't trust you. I said, you lied to me and tricked me this afternoon, and you came up, and he says, I'll get that old lady first. And I grabbed him by his clothes, and I tore a button off, and I screamed. I thought, well, I'll attract some attention to warn them. And by God, he turned right around and went out. I wrapped the gun in a piece of paper. I says, well, get rid of this gun. I don't want it anyway.
Did he wrap it in a piece of paper?
I did.
And give it to him?
Yes, because I didn't want the neighbors to see it.
Was that gun loaded?
Yes.
What do you want done with your husband?
Well, see, I don't think I'll call my attorney. Well, I don't know. I can't go on like this. What else should I do?
Well, you can charge him for disturbing the peace, for one thing.
Yeah.
If you so desire.
Yeah.
But you'll have to appear against him tomorrow in court.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your desire?
Yeah, what to do, because if I do, then he's going to really give me trouble, too. What do you think, Mother? Might as well go through it and get it over?
Sure, get it over with.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be there at 9 o'clock.
You'll be there at 9 o'clock. Good night.
We're back at the car with Officer Lopez. Manuel, we've talked with the lady, and she said that was an automatic.
And he had it this evening. He did have it this evening, yeah.
In fact, he brandished it before her.
What make of automatic is this that you own and that you had in your possession tonight? Now, let's have a straight answer on this
one. What do you mean, that automatic I had?
Yeah.
It was a 32 Colt.
32 Colt. Where is it now?
I gave it to a friend of mine tonight.
Who?
At the club in North Sacramento.
Why?
Because I owed him money and I gave it to him. That was why.
Didn't you threaten your wife with that gun tonight?
No, I didn't threaten nobody with any gun because I gave it to him wrapped in an original newspaper that she gave it to me.
Did you or did you not threaten the life of your mother-in-law?
No, sir, I did not.
Yeah, Manuel, she's going to prefer charges against him. She'd come down in the morning and sign the formal complaint. She is now signing the informal complaint against him and was advised. So, next step is to take him in.
Yes, we're going to take him in and book him then.
32.
Come on, get in the car. Let's come.
You may not have realized it at the time, but that was a close call for Unit 99. A violent man, supposedly armed, hiding behind a tree. And they passed within 15 feet of him in their plainly marked car. Fortunately, he had disposed of his weapon. As happens frequently, the wife refused to sign a formal complaint against him, and he was released the next morning.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department.
KMA 907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99, are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.